and Murata Mornings. Social Studies. Brought to you by HigherPrice.com. Carol Royce, your home sold guaranteed realty.
Time for some social studies. We turn it over to Sarah Cazell to take us through it. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Let's jump into social studies on Twitter/X, @Bickley_Murata. Hey, follow us on Instagram too while you're at it, please. @Bickley and Murata. We post videos every day.
By the way, Sarah, who hosted the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame banquet over the weekend.
Fantastic.
Way to go, Sarah.
A future Hall of Famer herself, no doubt.
Stop that. Thank you. I appreciate that. It was a lot of fun. Thank you to the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame for having me. It was a blast, and I'm a damn good MC, so hire me. Anyway. All right, let's get to Twitter/X. We're starting with the Phoenix Suns. We are asking of these three guys, now that they are heading into the playoffs, which player needs to be best for the Suns to give them a chance at a long playoff run? Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, or Bradley Beal? Who gives the Suns the best chance to succeed in the postseason?
I'm going to stick with Devin Booker.
I think I'm going to go there, too. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on Devin Booker, especially when a series gets tough on how he responds. And it's been weird because there's been times during the playoffs in his career where he has been amazing. I mean, he had back-to-back 40-point games in the finals. Not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah.
But when the Suns are facing elimination, it hasn't gone well for him. It hasn't gone well for the team. So I agree with that answer. I think it's got to be Book.
Devin Booker? Right. Yeah. Vote placed for Devin Booker, and the voters agree. It is 46% saying Book's got to be the guy for the Suns to have a deep playoff run. 29% say Bradley Beal, the guy who's been getting it done most recently for the Suns. 25% say Kevin Durant. Mario says the Suns go as far as Bradley Beal will take us. Booker and KD will get theirs, but Beal opens up the game for everybody. Daryl Lee says Bradley Beal as well. You expect the other two guys, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, to show up, but Bradley Beal at top form is proving to have immense value. Bring on the canines. Maybe Timberwolves, is that what he's getting at? Says Devin Booker, he has not been consistent this season. I know what I'm going to get from Kevin Durant, but will we get playoff Book from last year? Jesus Monzo says it's time for Book to be legendary. And then Oren Keen says, while Devin Booker is the face of the franchise and is undoubtedly what makes the team click, Kevin Durant has to be top tier. Oren Keen says, you can't have one of the best ever to do it slip up in the playoffs. That is a big drop off or surplus in expected returns if Kevin Durant is or is not his best self. Fair. So a big swing either way is what he's saying. All right, let's get to the Coyotes. I'm glad we have this question courtesy of Jarrett Carlin today. I have been wondering this myself. Where Coyotes fans will, what will happen to their allegiance with the Coyotes going to Salt Lake City? Not made official yet by the team, but I don't think we need to pretend that it's not happening. So what will your guys' hockey fandom look like moving forward with these four options? You'll root for the Salt Lake City Coyotes, whatever they become. You will just sit and wait for a new Arizona team that has not been promised, but it's been talked about. You'll root for a different existing NHL team, or you are done with the sport of hockey.
That's not what that... What is that?
It says, hockey schmucky, I'm done.
There you go.
Sorry. Clarify.
How dare you water down the brilliance of Jarrett Carlin?
Oh, yeah. How dare you?
This is a very interesting question. Because, I mean, at the heart of it right now, A, you're rooting for the players on this team. But B, there's a lot of the Seinfeld theory. You're rooting for laundry. The laundry's going to change next year. The location's going to change. So, I don't feel good about saying I would root for the Coyotes next year in Salt Lake City, because why? I think for me, it just becomes like a, I don't have another team. I was an Islanders fan before the Coyotes came to town. I don't see myself jumping on that bandwagon anytime soon.
Yeah.
I think I'll just wait for another team.
That's kind of where I'm at. Survey
the rest of the league.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Just an impartial observer of the sport.
I've got no plan B hockey team.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't have one in my back pocket, so.
Salt Lake Caesar, coincidentally, lived in Tempe for 12 years and now lives in Salt Lake City. So he says, I'm sticking with the Yotes.
Just got that vote in right before he left Tempe. Moved to Salt Lake, single-handedly bringing down the...
So right now, 38% of our voters say, hockey schmocky, I'm done. 38%.
But that means you're done forever.
Yeah. Because I mean, is an option to hold out for an Arizona team, yeah, which has the second most votes right now.
I mean, I don't know how high the confidence level is that that's ever going to happen.
I don't feel confident in that.
I don't either.
Not at all. I'm just assuming there won't be any NHL hockey in the state of Arizona moving forward. Again, 33% say they're going to hold out for that new Arizona team.
All right.
16% will root for a different NHL team. 13% will root for the current Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City. Jay Twice says both the current Coyotes in Salt Lake City while he waits for a new Arizona team. If we get an expansion squad, my allegiance will then transfer to them since they represent the state of Arizona. J-Rod Cards says, sad day. Don't tell me this is not a hockey town. This franchise has been doomed with terrible, cheap owners. The franchise did nothing to market the team, nothing to reach fans, nothing to grow. If a new team, specifically with new owners, comes along, then I will be on board.
Can I share one more?
Please.
That has another different viewpoint from Egregious Mike?
Yeah.
He
says, I had that one pulled up too.
Let's be positive. The Coyotes were the turd in the locker room of Arizona sports. The albatross is gone. We cut the fat. We can focus good quality time and money on better franchises. And look, Mike's not alone in that thinking either.
Yep.
There's a lot of people that feel that way, that followed this team and follow sports in Arizona.
Yes, they're done assigning their energy to this franchise. All right, final question in today's edition of Social Studies. At the very start of the show, I believe, Bick, you mentioned the growing sentiment that Caitlin Clark will not be received well into the WNBA. The draft is tonight. It starts at 4:30 Arizona time. And you just said that the vets aren't stoked to have her coming in thinking she's going to take over the league right away. So we are asking for an athlete that you think received the most hate when they entered the league or went pro across any sport, any level, who had the most hate on them as they came into that league.
Another great question. The first name that came to mind for me was Kobe Bryant because of the hype. If you go back to Kobe's press conference announcing that he was entering the draft, he turned a lot of people off. Remember, he had the sunglasses on his forehead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then he kind of played the power play like he didn't want to play for Charlotte, wormed his way to L.A. There was a lot of built-in Kobe hate. And that he was at the forefront of, you know, he was one of the first high school guys to make the jump.
I think there was a good deal of it for LeBron.
I do, too.
Just the cockiness he exuded.
And the fact that he was, I mean, he was on the American radar for 2 years in high school.
Right, which SI is cover rare. At like 16 years old.
ESPN was showing his games on Friday nights. I mean, they knew something.
Yeah. Our Tim Ring responded, Christian Laettner. He said he was hated in college, but I don't think people were waiting, wanting, and hoping to see him fail in the NBA. The answer to this exact question is Brian Bosworth. That tells you something.
That is a good one.
A lot of people said Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, another including Lojo.
Johnny Man.
Phoenician Sailor says Kyler Murray got an unbelievable amount of flack just for being short.
Still does, Phoenician Sailor.
He hasn't grown taller.
Yes.
David Deaton says Tony Kukoc, and from his own teammates. Vic, as I'm sure you can attest to.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
Yeah.
This is a local one from Chalk Riley, Josh Rosen, ?
I think people...
Mistakes comment, the 9 mistakes ahead of me comment, will live in infamy and I am sure ruffled the feathers of teams and players ahead of him in the draft, that's, I should say.
Locally, though, people were very excited for him and kind of liked that comment that he had that confidence. Yeah.
Even people who rooted very hard against him in college, like this guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just last one before we break. Most hated players when they went pro. Soggy Sack Jones says Manti Te'o. All he wanted was to have a dead imaginary girlfriend and play football. Wouldn't let him do it.
Wouldn't let him have
imaginary.
It. All he was asking for.
That story still blows my mind. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks
to everybody who chimed in on Social Studies at Bickley_Murata on X. Coming up next, Suns end the regular season on a high note. thanks to Bradley Beal, who wants you to know it's time. We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Wolf. The regular season is over, and we know the Phoenix Suns' fate. So how do we feel about the Suns' chances for a deep playoff run? We'll tell you at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
It means nothing. We have the utmost respect for this basketball team. They have not played their best against us, but we've seen them kick everybody's butt throughout the course of this season. I mean, they got one of the best defenses in the league. They got the best defense in the league. Anthony Edwards is one of the most dynamic guys in the league and one of the most difficult guys to stop. They got defensive firepower all over. Cat's still getting his legs under him. You know what I mean? He'll be better, you know, when the playoffs begin. And it's going to be a dog fight.
That's Frank Vogel talking about the playoff matchup Suns will face on the road next weekend. Games 1 and 2 in Minnesota against the third-seeded Timberwolves. The Suns dismantled the Timberwolves yesterday in maybe their best performance of the year.
Yeah, I think it was.
And at the heart of it, I mean, it's hard to look at Minnesota and say, wow, I like their chances against the Suns right now. But Frank Vogel is right. It means almost, I'm not going to go as far to say that the three games mean nothing, but it does mean almost nothing. Now, right now, the Timberwolves are doing the mental gymnastics they need to do to convince themselves of that. So, some of the quotes coming out from their locker room yesterday, Anthony Edwards, quote, they won three games in the regular season. Regular season is over with now. We got the postseason, so we'll be ready to go. Carl Anthony Towns, there's no better team to be playing in the first round than a team we struggled with all year. If there was ever a time for this team to earn its shot at a parade here or to get to the second round, that's quite the leap.
Wow.
It's only right that it would be against the team that we found most difficult for ourselves this year. So there's some mental gymnastics going on in Minnesota.
Yes, there are. And in some ways, what will make this meaningful is that you can guarantee the Timberwolves are going to have a very focused week of preparation because they know this and they know they've been embarrassed by this team. So you're not going to catch this team napping or lackadaisical or looking past you in any stretch of the imagination. So there is that. But I'll take that over the other any way you look at it. Again, the Wolves are 56-23 against 28 teams in the NBA.
That is one way to look at it.
That is, right?
And, you know, look at the alternatives. You'd much rather be a team that dominated its first-round opponent in the playoffs than a team, like
without
if you're talking about the Suns going to play Oklahoma City right now, I don't think there'd be the same energy in our voices. Because Oklahoma City not only beat the Suns, they exploited the Suns.
Ran them off the court, basically.
They dominated the Suns.
Yep. Yeah, and you talk about domination. The Suns have beat the Timberwolves by 19, 18, and 10, but that 10-point victory was a 23-point game with 3 minutes to go.
Yeah, when they cleared the benches, it was probably the ugliest garbage time of the year, which is saying something for any NBA team. Those guys that got off the bench late in that game were all like minus 14.
Uh-huh. And then even if you look at the bigger picture of comparing the Suns' big three to Minnesota's big three, well, Anthony Edwards is great but unproven in the playoffs. And Rudy Gobert and Carl Anthony Towns are probably two of the least trustworthy superstars in big moments that you could have. So you got to feel good there.
Yeah. True. And you know my theory it's like I don't believe Devin Booker thinks Carl Anthony Towns can beat him. And I think that vibe kind of permeates and has permeated. Yeah, for the Timberwolves, 19 first half turnovers. The Suns are the team that normally is throwing the ball over the gym.
Yeah.
It's yesterday. Bradley Beal went nuts, but just the level of clean looks the Suns generate against the Timberwolves' allegedly vaunted defense. You got to feel comfortable and confident going into this thing.
One of the things that gave me comfort yesterday, too, is, okay, the first quarter happened, and the Suns came. They hit 8 3-pointers in the first quarter. They scored 44 points. They were shooting lights out. The ball was zipping around. The Timberwolves cranked up their defense.
Mm-hmm.
They really, really turned up the intensity on that end of the floor. The Suns still ended up with 125 points and shot 55% for the game.
That's right.
From 2-point range and 3-point range.
Yeah.
They were undaunted.
So Timberwolves fans are like, this is typical of our sports town. This is exactly the kind of story we are used to in Minneapolis.
Isn't it nice to know that another market goes through
them? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So,
by the way, another market that lost a hockey team once upon a time and got an expansion team.
Ooh, that's right.
Really?
The North Stars, yeah.
North Stars Bobby moved to Smith. Dallas. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mike Modano, Dino Cicerelli.
The NHL likes doing that. They did that in Atlanta. They might do it for
Minnesota
a third
North
time
Stars had the coolest hockey Winnipeg sweater I've ever seen. I once bought one as a little kid.
Did you really?
Because I just loved it so much. The end with the star over it.
The colors were good too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just amazed that Minnesota lost a hockey team. Like, isn't that your whole thing?
That is their whole thing.
Is that
thing
what you do?
Yeah. So you have, yeah. They're a city that actually has a winter carnival. They celebrate winter. That's how crazy they are in Minneapolis.
I think originally weren't the Dallas Stars going to be the Dallas Lone Stars?
I remember that for a very brief time.
Mm. Like they were going to keep the same imagery and switch it, but they just went with the Stars.
See, that's where I kind of shift in on the fly here. This whole idea, I think if a team relocates, they should have to change the name.
Yes.
And that even applies to the Raiders when they move to, I don't know, Timbuktu in their next relocation.
Because it gets very confusing.
The North Stars is such a great team name for Minnesota.
Better than the Wild.
Anything is better than that name. It's the worst name in sports.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's one of them.
Can't have an adjective. Well,
it's very, very odd when you let teams keep their name. It's like, whose history is this? Is this
it? Yeah.
It is confusing because the Winnipeg Jets now exist again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have the Coyotes. So now you're going to have the Winnipeg Jets franchise three, now spread in three different ways if the Coyotes stay here.
That's true.
Wow.
You'll have the new Utah team, you'll have the newer Coyotes team, and then you'll have the new Jets team.
There's a debate to be had, too, on whether or not if Coyotes get an expansion, if Arizona gets an expansion team, should it be called the Coyotes? Or do you just want to hose off all that stink?
Washington.
I know what I would do. I would do the latter. I would want a brand new identity.
So that's what the Washington baseball, they were the Senators. Mm-hmm. They left. They got an expansion team. They were the Senators again.
Yep.
They left again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got an expansion team with, not an expansion team, but they moved from Montreal. And there was the talk, do we become the Senators again? And they were like, no, we need to get rid of that curse and that stink.
We're going
to
be the representatives.
Yeah. That's funny.
The Electoral College.
That's funny.
Coming up next, we will hand out some Monday hardware. It's Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Let's head to the website, arizonasports.com, and make a quick, early postseason prediction about the Phoenix Suns. In the first round specifically. Hi, welcome back to Bickley and Murata Mornings. Dan Bickley, Vince Murata here with me, Sarah Cazell, and Jarrett Carlin. Guys, what is your pick for the Suns-Timberwolves first round? How do you think that'll shake out? The Suns win in 4 or 5. The Suns win in 6 or 7. The T-Wolves win in 4 or 5. The T-Wolves win in 6 or 7.
I'll say Suns in 6 or 7.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
That sounds about right.
Before last weekend, when we, you know, I wasn't here on Friday. When I left the airwaves on Thursday, I mean, like, I was thinking about it. Is there going to be a first round matchup where I pick the Suns to win? And I was like, I don't feel great about it.
Yeah.
Then Friday night happened, and then Sunday happened, and everything that's gone into it. Yeah, and I feel the same way. 6 or 7 for the Suns.
That's where most of our voters are as well. 58% think the Suns will beat the Timberwolves in 6 or 7. Another 25% say the Suns will beat the Timberwolves in 4 or 5. So we're talking 17% of our voters who believe the T-Wolves will win this series. 11% say it goes 6 or 7 in Minnesota's favor. 6% say it goes 4 or 5 in Minnesota's favor.
All right. That's today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can vote on it right now on the homepage at arizonasports.com.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Bickley and Murata mornings.
Handing out the hardware.
Hardware. That's how we do the award show. We do it on Mondays. It's brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss and Wellness. Eat smart, lose weight, keep it off with Revitalize, home of the Bickley and Murata Revolution, proud nutrition partner of the Phoenix Suns.
Indeed. My first award, Vinny, is the Much Respect Award, and I'm giving it to Jose Maria Olazabal, who at age 58 not only finished the Masters, but tied with Jon Rahm for 45th place.
Defending champion.
And yesterday on number 13, threw his back out something fierce and never brought it up to the media. Wouldn't have known about it except for his playing partner, Camilo Villegas, said, "You guys will not believe what happened out there in our group today." And then told the story of how he was dealing with Eddie, still found a way to finish and didn't bring it up once afterwards.
That's remarkable. He doesn't play that much competitive golf either, does he?
No.
At this point?
No.
But he's got that exemption.
Mm-hmm.
So he plays the Masters.
That's right.
And as somebody who is, I mean, Thanksgiving week last year, I threw my back out getting up out of bed. And I was a disaster for a week. It was awful. I couldn't even imagine attempting to swing a golf club once.
Yeah.
He went through five more holes of golf.
Yes, he did. Crazy.
That dude is a stud.
Yes,
or,
indeed.
Or, as I should say for Jose Maria Olazabal, he's a thud. A stud.
A thud. Stud.
My first award is the Building a House One Brick at a Time Award, and I'm giving it to Delano Banton of the Portland Trailblazers. Did you see what he did on the last game of the season, Bick? New NBA record.
Uh-oh.
Took 15 three-pointers and missed them all.
Oh!
Wow.
Wow!
15, the previous NBA record was held by three players at 0 for 12. Justin Anderson of the Nets in 2020 did it. Brooke Lopez of the Bucks did it in 2018. And Eric Gordon, when he was a member of the Houston Rockets, went 0 for 12. But he blew right past that record. 0 for 15 for the three-point range in one game.
For Delano Banton?
Your Portland Trailblazers.
Wow.
Gentlemen.
Oh, yeah. What a crew.
What a crew is right. My first award is the Seeds of Doubt Award. And it goes to the Suns and the Timberwolves series, because I've now checked multiple betting websites, and on all of them, the Suns are favored to win the series, despite being the sixth seed, despite having seven less wins than the Timberwolves. So, even though they just snuck in there, even though they are the much lower seed, the expectations are for them to win, according to Vegas and various sports books.
Maybe this is just a season-long / three-game ploy by the Timberwolves.
Okay.
To give the Suns too much confidence.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
It's a long con.
I guess we'll find out starting Saturday. All right, this is the Justice for Arizona Award. It goes to ASU football coach Kenny Dillingham and Cardinals fans. Yesterday, the ASU football program announced that Hines Ward, a two-time Super Bowl champ with the Steelers, is joining the ASU staff as their wide receivers coach. Dillingham spoke to reporters about it over the weekend and said there was one hang-up with Hines Ward's contract that took them a couple of days to sort out. Here's Dillingham.
We were working with it for a few days, right? There was one thing in the contract that we couldn't agree upon. I told him he had to admit that there was only one toe in bounds. And he wouldn't do it. So we had to take that language out. And once we took that language out, you know, he signed and he's here.
That's pretty good.
I love Kenny.
That's excellent. My next award is the Jacket Racket Award. I'm giving it to Augusta National Golf Course. For those who don't know, if you win multiple green jackets, you don't win multiple green jackets. They keep giving you your jacket back over and over and over again.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So you get the jacket. It's like the Stanley Cup. You get to have it for a year, but you can't be photographed with alcohol while wearing the jacket. You have to inform the club as to any appearance you make while wearing the jacket. They have to approve it. You cannot wear the jacket with blue jeans. You have to wear it with business attire or golf attire. Yeah, it's quite something.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I didn't realize that either. Yeah. You're telling me that Tiger Woods, for example, does not have a green jacket with him?
No. Once you win it once and you get the year with it, then you bring it back to the club. Now it hangs in your locker forever.
Oh, I see. What if you're a big fat guy?
Well, or if you gain weight or gain muscle. And there's a tailor on the premises. They have everything figured out there, Jared.
All right, good.
They have a plan.
I hate for John Daly to ever win again, and then
he's
squeezed it into.
Can't wear those blue jeans, man. They are strict over there.
No, they are.
My last award is the actual best story having to do with the NBA and Chicken Award. Jarrett played the soundbite earlier of Kevin Harlan.
He's the best.
Doing the play-by-play of the chicken wing being thrown on the court.
Want to play it again?
No. Did you see the Boban Marjanovic?
Oh, it was excellent.
Boban playing for the Houston Rockets in a game, one of the games that just did not mean anything yesterday, and that's why Boban was playing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're playing the Clippers in L.A., and the Clippers have that same thing. Hey, if somebody misses two consecutive free throws on the opposing team, everybody wins chicken sandwiches. They do it at the Suns games. So Boban used to play for the Clippers. He's one of the most beloved guys in the league. He misses the first free throw. Crowd starts to make noise. They want those free chicken sandwiches. Boban basically looks at the crowd, the opposing crowd, and says, I got your back.
He starts pointing to them like this.
I got you.
Misses the second free throw on purpose.
That's fantastic.
And then points up the crowd like, got you.
Do you want to hear the crowd reaction? I have it, because, of course, we all decided we were going to do Boban and chicken for hardware today.
Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken? Here's your job. Oh, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people.
There you go.
Boban is
He's fantastic, one lovable dude. He really is.
Yep.
Can you imagine if he was actually good?
I know. It's a shame the guys like that.
Right.
And the final award is the actual best story about chicken award. And it goes to Conan O'Brien, who appeared on the web show Hot Ones and pretty much did it a bit for 27 minutes where he just was pretending like none of it affected him. As it went hotter and hotter, he was just rubbing the wings on his tongue. He was taking hands full of hot sauce and smearing it on his face and lips and just being a crazy loon.
I haven't watched it. I didn't watch that show, but I've heard it is fantastic. Yeah,
it went really viral and stuff. So,
it is phenomenal.
If you like Conan and his nonsense, it was pretty good.
So a very chicken-flavored edition
of
Hardware
today. Three big chicken stories this week.
Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss and Wellness. By the way, you can eat chicken on Revitalize.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right. Highly recommend. Yes.
Great time.
We'll close things out here on this Monday. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
Vinny, explain.
A cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Chicken fried.
So I
went with the Zach Brown Band. Chicken fried. Are you a fan of Bo Burnham, the comedian?
I don't think I even know who he is.
Yes.
Bo Burnham did a bit about how to write a country music hit song.
Oh, I've seen that bit.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
But I think he must have based the bit on this song.
On this song?
Yeah. Cold beer on a Friday night, pair of jeans that fits just right, sweet tea, chicken fried. Like, he hit all of them. Like, just a checklist of what's going to make people love this song.
And calling your girl a girl.
They know what's their fan base wants.
They do.
This is a catchy song, though.
It is. I'm bopping.
It is catchy.
Well, that makes one of us.
I kind of like.
How do you feel about chicken fried, Jarrett?
Love it.
Do you? You like chicken fried stuff?
Chicken fried steak?
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Chicken fried chicken? Delicious.
Really? I've never had chicken fried chicken.
It's fried chicken.
Well, no, it's not. It's not fried chicken exactly. You know what chicken fried steak is?
Of
so imagine that, but with chicken
the sauce
in the middle. It's like that. It's not exactly fried chicken.
It's because they take a chicken breast instead of the whole chicken. But they fry it the same way.
That's true, but they have the sweet white gravy.
It is damn delicious.
It is pretty good.
There you go, Zach Brown Band. Today's song of the day.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
The lyrics are still scrolling through. There's also There's also mention of the Stars and Stripes in this song.
I do not like country music.
Wow.
But if I'm going to hear country music, I want it to be real country music. Just full on ding dang do. Don't give me any of this pop country nonsense.
Jared has spoken.
I want to talk about tractors and dogs and chicken and beer.
A story we didn't get to in hardware, but I wanted to bring up, and it happened Saturday night. It was kind of, I was going to call it the Connected Team as a Dangerous Team Award.
Yeah.
When Lourdes Gurriel Jr. hit the 3-run homer in the 6th to give the D-backs the lead, it happened on Alec Thomas T-shirt night. And it was Alec Thomas, they were commemorating his big home run in the Phillies series. And kind of the pose, remember when he came and he looked at the heavens?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic, right?
Lourdes Gurriel Jr. did the exact same thing, which was awesome. And it had to be planned, right? Because
had
the side-by-side photos are so similar.
Right.
And did you see Alec Thomas, who's still hurt and out? He says he's about 60, 70% right now. He was handing out his own T-shirts to fans at the game on Saturday. How freaking cool is that?
That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. There's a reason why people like this team, Vinny. The likability is good.
Yeah. Do you want a freaking party?
Freaking party!
We didn't get into the ASU story other than hardware. Hines Ward, the new wide receivers coach at ASU, came in, was part of the practices over the weekend, which is cool. The person I thought of immediately was the head of media relations at ASU, Doug Tamaro, who also is the biggest Steelers fan you'll ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got to be on cloud nine right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I had the exact same thought. That's like one of his all-timers.
The other ASU story that we didn't talk about today that happened, Frankie Collins, not coming back to ASU, entered the transfer portal. Is committed to TCU, according to reports. So not only is Frankie Collins not part of your team next year, you're going to see him once, maybe twice, next year in Big 12 play.
Yeah. Not ideal.
That on top of Jermaine Kimbrough being hired away from GCU, the top assistant on Bobby Hurley's staff.
Right.
It's
That's an interesting
thing. Strange time for ASU men's basketball.
Oh, you'd say that again.
It's a strange thing.
Nobody ever takes that literally. I guess you just did.
And Boswell went to Illinois, too, from U of A.
So. I didn't even see that story.
Yeah.
Wow.
Was that yesterday, I think?
Yeah, I think it was yesterday.
He committed, yeah.
Where is he from?
Illinois.
Oh, he is from Illinois. Okay. Then it makes perfect sense.
I mean, Illinois is a lot like Arizona, except with less people from Illinois.
Yes.
That almost makes sense. Okay.
I get what you're saying. There's more people from Illinois and Arizona than
Illinois. Yeah, you get it.
Looking at you, Tim Ring. So tomorrow night, there was a time yesterday where maybe you were gearing up, if you're a fan of the Suns, to say, all right, we're going to see what this is all about.
Right.
On Tuesday night at Footprint Center with the Suns hosting a play-in game. What a turn of events.
It is quite a dramatic change in schedule. To having one day off to having 6 days off.
Well, speaking of Tim Ring, and I know he brought this up too, I'd love to get your thoughts on it. Kevin Durant, I think, is going to be one guy who really benefits from a week off.
Oh, that's a good call.
They're playing big minutes down the stretch.
Yeah.
They had a couple of high-intensity games over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Fatigue should not be a factor for the Phoenix Suns going in.
No.
For any member of them.
No.
Now, you just wonder if the time off is going to cool off Bradley Beal, who's just at an emotional high right now. And I didn't even believe it when I looked up the stat when we were talking to Frank Isola. Bradley Beal is shooting 73% from three-point range
incredible.
In his last five games.
That is incredible. Yeah, listen, so I guess that would be a fear, that he would actually cool off a little bit, but I think you're right on the money. The fact that this team had to play heavy minutes in back-to-back nights during this finish line stretch, this is another thing that I think is going to help them dramatically.
Well, even in the game they fell behind by 31 early against the Clippers, they fought back in that game and had to play big minutes in that game, too, even though it didn't go their way. So, yeah. I hope this is a good period of physical rest and maybe, more importantly, mental rest for the Suns going in.
Yes. Well said.
But I think they're in a good place right now.
Yeah, and I think the fan base has had an infusion of hope, and I think this whole thing is almost, by the grace of God, back in a good place. Yeah. Who knows?
Just when you thought that you were out, they pull you back in.
Wouldn't it be funny if this team gets to the finals after what we've all been through?
It would be hilarious.
Yeah,
it
would be.
You love a good hilarious joke at this time of the year. There you go. That's going to do it for us on this Monday. Thanks to Frank Isola, Kevin Zimmerman for joining us. We will be back bright and early tomorrow morning at 6. Wolf and Luke are up next here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Have a great day, everybody.